Today we'll hear from Paul Nelson, outstanding guide in Paul Bunyan country, a longtime area guide, knows the area inside and out, and is never afraid to share his thoughts. It's a great show, and it's coming up next. Welcome to Fishing Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. Checking in with Paul Nelson, outstanding guide in Paul Bunyan Country, and a guy you see in the Pioneer on a weekly basis, getting us caught up with what's going on in the outdoors. And, you know, Paul, before we got in the air, talking about now that we can start guiding again, that's good news. But for guides, it was a tough couple of weeks, certainly, and for guys that... Maybe when they didn't know what was going to happen, a lot of trips got canceled. I know you're kind of in that boat. So it's nice that guiding's back, but boy, it's been a tough go, especially with a bad winter as well for area guides.
Yeah, it threw a few curveballs at everybody, I think, you know, and a lot of people, you know, had their schedule cleared because you have to plan vacations and doing things ahead of time. Many of our customers are, you know, old, as many of the guides are too, so that there's, you know, your clients have different risks, and, you know, with the no travel orders and stuff, you can't cut it that close. You have to be able to cancel your reservations and do all your stuff. So yeah, I was hit pretty hard by cancellations, that's for sure.
But I'm sure you did go out and do some fishing anyway.
Yep, I have. We were quite active, still going out and fishing, and I've been out a number of times this season. You know, you don't know when the phone will start to ring, but, you know, we kind of live up here to fish. So, you know, it was actually kind of fun to be able to do things without, you know, a little different mindset, just going out and having fun. So
yeah.
I enjoyed it, actually.
A little less pressure. You don't have to get fish in the boat. You can try some things that you always thought in your head, you know, I'd like to try this someday. Well, this was someday, I guess.
Well, yeah, you're always looking at your calendar and thinking about what you need to know, where you need to go, you know, and without that, you can, you know, fish what you want, and yeah, the pressure's down a little bit, and, you know, fishing for fun. I mean, that's how most of us guys got into it in the first place, so that wasn't all bad.
So what was your fishing for fun?
Hit the crappies and bluegills and perch. We did some after ice perch, which there's a real narrow window of opportunity there to get those. They're one of the first fish to spawn, and they go pretty quick after, you know, the ice is out. But you go to many of the areas where you last saw them on the ice, and the areas where they lay their eggs in strands on just about anything, you know, including standing weeds. And so if you find the right areas, and, you know, when you, it's nice to have a calmer day too, so they can use your eyes and go along in the shallows and just use your eyes to look for fish, and then, you know, stop and, you know, use a talon or something to hold you in that spot, you know, and just physically look for the fish. So did pretty good on the perch, and then the crappies, I mean, they're funny. They're a feeding movement, and they're real touchy to weather changes. So they'll move in and out of areas. So, you know, one day you can hit the crappies pretty good if the weather's right, and you know, and they're very capable of disappearing and pulling off into, you know, somewhere close where they can have a little deeper water and that they can kind of hold until things get to their liking again. And then, you know, the walleyes, since the season opened, you know, fishing those and trying to, you know, get some fish to eat at the same time you're out there scouting around and, you know, seeing what the fish are doing and where they're going.
What did you find as far as walleye go the first couple of weeks of the season? Was the bite good? I know the weather sucked the first weekend, but was the bite good?
Yeah, you had to do the right things in the right areas, and you had to fish. You know, we have the opportunity in the spring to follow different lakes through the same temperature range, so, you know, if you can find a stained shallow lake that heats up quicker, that will go through, you know, a positive stretch of fishing before the deep cold lakes, and you can move from shallow to deep, from warm to cold, as those lakes go through the, you know, the walleyes don't really start to bite very well until they're about in the mid-50s, mm-hmm. low to mid-50s, and then, you know, it just keeps getting better. And usually you hit that peak. I always, you know, pay very close attention to water temperatures, and, you know, I check them. It's kind of got to be apples to apples, so you check it first thing in the morning before the sun has had a chance to warm the water so that you're not charting some spike that happens during the day. Those are kind of artificial. It's basically how much warmth that lake and that water can hold overnight. And as soon as they hold 60 for that first time, the females kind of go through a bit of a spring peak where they're feeding really heavy and trying to catch up for lost time after they recover from the spawn, where the males will bite earlier. But this year, I mean, we're behind. The cover, the weeds, the reef beds, you know, all those things really haven't started to pop up yet. So it was kind of hard bottom area and rocks and really keying in on where you're seeing the bait fish rather than, you know, emergent weeds early.
Okay. So that, you know, we're definitely getting in the right direction now. We've got a nice warm week this week. Should mean a pretty good Memorial weekend of fishing, I would think.
I would think so, too. And if you're tracking, you know, which weekend is one of the, you know, tends to be one of the hottest weekends of the year, Memorial Day weekend is very consistently a good weekend for walleyes. Now, I've heard some other stories, too, that, you know, a very high number, I think it was in the 80s percent range of people saying that they're not planning on traveling for Memorial Day. Well, I don't know if, you know, that 10, 15, 20% are all fishermen or not, but it doesn't sound like this is going to be as busy, at least for non-anglers. I don't know. They didn't split that up. They were just talking, you know, people leaving home or staying home. But this is a very consistent weekend. Memorial Day kind of flips around a little bit on the date. So I'm thinking, you know, from now till the end of May, really should be a good period, for walleye fishing. And, you know, again, you know, the warmer lakes started out this week in the low 50s where, or the cold lakes started out in the low 50s this week where the warmer lakes maybe were mid, kind of pushing upper 50s. So, you know, many of the big walleye lakes or the lakes that we associate with walleyes more should be just coming into their own this weekend and through the end of the month as they approach that 60-degree mark.
Paul Nelson of the Bemidji Area Lakes Guide Service, my guest today. He's been around a long time. We're going to find out his thoughts on the big increase in fishing license sales next. This is Fishing Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. Welcome back to Fishing Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle, celebrating 30 years on the air and fewer years online. Bemidji Area Guide Paul Nelson in today. As one who's been in this business and in this area for a long time, I'm curious, Paul, your thoughts on the great license sales we had in the state of Minnesota this year, particularly youth license sales, which set a new record. Obviously, we hope that's a good sign for the future.
I really think it is. You know, and people, you know, they're looking at their summer and what am I going to do and the uncertainty and other things and want to, you know, they're looking for things that are outside in natural places where you can distance from other people. And, you know, when you write it all down, you're kind of describing fishing. You know, if you can get it in and out of the bait stores and in and out of the access is clean, you know, once you're out on the lake, you know, and now you have a reason to give people the death stare too if they get too close. But, you know, as long as you can distance in your boat, I mean, I think that was a real good idea. I had fears of boats full of people. Most guides don't like that anyway, so it was kind of a left-handed way to, you know, to get one or two people in your boat, which you can be more effective and really spread it out. You know, put, you know, if you're in a tiller, you in the back, somebody in the middle, and somebody else up in front. But, I mean, there's all new concerns now, too, about touching your rods, what you have to clean. You know, some guys have been thinking about letting people bring their own rods or, you know, having, you know, the sanitizing wipes in the boat or, you know, it's going to take a lot, you know, in the boat. You know, I've got armrests on my seats and other things. You you kind of got to go through it afterwards. And it's really kind of scary. If you've got some health issues, I am not convinced that I can survive a battle with the virus. So I don't want to try it. You know, maybe I'd get lucky and I would, maybe I wouldn't, but I just, it adds a different angle to guiding and being around other people. That's for sure.
Well, I'm sure you've been doing some studying. So is there any place that you've gone in particular where you take a look at things and say, okay, I guess I'm going to have to do this, 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 and this? Were you just winging it?
I don't think that we've gotten real good guidance. Most of it is just repeating common sense. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, go back to kindergarten and, okay, wash your hands. don't be poking and crowding your neighbors. And, it really is, the common sense part of it has been repeated so many times that you really have to not be paying attention to know what you're supposed to do.
Right.
But we've got some weird, attitudes going on where people are kind of acting like it's a macho deal to go without a face mask. And, I guess I don't look at it that way. I think it's silly. And it's not that much to ask. And, boy, when, one mistake could be, a pretty big deal. And you won't know who did it or how it happened. So, I am fearful of it. I don't, go ahead and laugh or make fun of me if you want, or if that makes me one thing or another. But, I mean, with my situation, I look at it, and I'm the one that has to cover my own butt. So, we're each kind of in that situation. But we also have to have respect for other people because we don't really know if we've got it or not. The nature of guiding is bringing people unquarantined into this area. So, just by nature, it's a higher risk thing. And if it's not on your mind as a guide, it should be.
Well, I think, from a purely pragmatic standpoint, guides and anybody really in business should want to make sure nothing happens because you want to be able to keep maintaining and getting closer to back to normal. So, yeah, you want to take all the precautions that you can to make sure nobody comes from your business and gets sick.
Yep. And how many does it take? It just takes one to, to change, everything, how it goes. I mean, I'm a big sports fan, and I know you are too. And what happens when somebody on the team gets infected? There's so many things that the prescription isn't there for. If this happens, then what? If then what? So, that's the same with guides too. And there's also a fear of liability with people getting hurt or sick, or you don't really know the rules, and there's no place where you can really look it up. I mean, I had other guides asking me, well, I don't see anything about, the guiding and stuff in here. And I said, well, yeah, it's in the third to last paragraph of many pages of stuff. I read the whole thing. It's easy to skim over something and miss it, and a lot of things aren't there. This is not being spelled out clearly because it's new ground. So, boy, you just have to think. You have to err on the side of caution and, use your head.
That is asking a lot of me. Up next, Paul Nelson talks AIS on Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. Using your longtime knowledge of this area and fishing all the different lakes, a lot of talk in the last 5 to 10 years about AIS. And we've seen some, we've seen zebra mussels get into most of our really well-known waters. There's still plenty that don't have it. But you fish a lot of those waters. Have you seen any changes due to AIS in the last few years on those lakes?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, okay. You have. The fish are so spooky in that clear water. And if they're somewhat shallow, too, and you always, I thought as I was thinking through what was going to happen here, I figured that the fish would all move deeper, but that hasn't been the case. They will suspend. They will go over the basin. They'll do a lot. They'll react in a lot of different ways. But there's a lot of fish that are, putting up with the sun and going in the weeds and still staying in shallower water. It depends on what the fish are feeding on, too. If the fish are feeding on, crayfish or perch or other things, those things are more active during the day. So, even though they're bothered by the light, there is fish that are eating during the day. So you have to look for them in different cover. You low light condition that's created by waves, or, you know, you got to fish the windward portion a little bit more. You have to be sneakier when you go into these areas. You can't, you know, the old ways of driving with the regular sonar and driving over the top of the fish and then, you know, slam your boat in reverse and go back around, or you're making passes through an area. And, you know, a lot of guys will make a pass and then they won't pay attention where they drive. So they drive right back over the fish to try make another pass. There's many, you know, things like that that you just can't get away with anymore. Many times you'll go over those fish, you'll see them, you'll go back to look for them, and they're gone. So, you know, using the side imaging feature, looking away from the side of your boat, trying not to drive over them, being very stealthy and using, you know, either a talon to hold you in spot, or using the, you know, the spot lock on some of the trolling motors where you can go to a spot. And it's just being more sneaky that I think the fish are here. I'm not going to drive over them. I'm going to position myself so that I can cast or use bobbers or do. I mean, there is different ways to do it. And just back trolling and driving right over the top of the fish, that is the best way to catch them right now.
Okay. I know that Cass Lake in particular, I mean, is a clear water lake to begin with. And we always heard, you know, even when I first started doing this show 30-some years ago, you know, early morning, late evening. And that's only extrapolated to early, early, early morning and late, late, late evening when it comes to walleyes now.
Yes, you know, and there's people that, you know, the last thing most guides want to do is fish after dark. Mm-hmm. You know, but a lot of the local people that don't really, they haven't dug into it deep enough to figure a pattern that's going to work, they're starting to fish after dark and just troll rapulas, you know, over the shallows and doing pretty good. So, I mean, you go by these clearwater lakes at night and, you know, you'll see the boats with the lights out there fishing a lot more heavily after dark. You know, a lot of guys that come up here that don't have the, you know, the sonar, you know, the high-end sonars or other stuff, they're doing a boat rental from a resort, or, you know, they've got a situation where, you know, the only time they can catch them really is in the evening and after dark.
Okay. Well, we got bass opener this weekend as well. We got muskie opener another week after that. So it's just a couple weeks, Paul, and all the hardcore anglers of all species will be out there on the water. And as it warms up, I think we're going to have a lot of fun this year. I think in the sense that people really need to get outside and take advantage of this. But again, I think you spoke well of it. You got to be smart and you got to be careful.
Yeah, you know, and I can feel the difference in my head when I'm fishing out there after what we experienced by being locked in our house. You know, you have something taken away from you, and it all of a sudden you realize what it means to you.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it feels different when you're out on the water. You don't get, you know, you can stay longer, you fish harder. You don't feel the, you know, need to get home and watch the Twins, or you don't, I mean, there's other distractions where really just being out there, it's kind of, you know, it's purified the sport a little bit. And I think a lot of young people that aren't doing the summer sports, or, you know, there's so many things that have been removed from our lives that I think fishing actually in an area like Bemidji is going to take a bigger role than it has in the past, or that it's going, people are going to look at it again, or people that dabbled in it are going to get into it more. And it's nice to see the young people, you know, going, you know, some of those young guys, boy, they go at it really hard. They're, you know, it brings back memories of, you know, they're almost possessed by the fishing. They go at it so hard. So, and Bemidji, what a wonderful place to be able to do that. You know, you have the fishing bug down by the cities, and you only got a few places to go.
Right.
You know, up here, geez, it's a playground. You know, you could go to a different lake every time you went on the water in the summer and not run out of lakes for quite a while.
Well, that's a fact, no question. Well, Paul, I know you're a multimedia guy. Where can people hear and read you these days?
I'm in the Pioneer on Wednesdays. We're going Wednesday and Saturday now, 2 days a week. And, you know, they've beefed up their online stuff where they're updating that during the week more often, but only printing two papers. So All my contact information is there. Otherwise, my phone, 218-760-7751, or my email is in at the end of my column all the time in the paper, so you can just look for me there.
Okay. And you are open to taking some tours out if they want to go?
Yes, I am. I'm trying to rebuild my schedule. It really fell apart on me, so that, you know, I'm just slowly, I haven't had a guide trip yet this year. I should be on the water instead of talking to you right now. I had a group trip for this week, and some of them have rescheduled. Other ones just haven't shown back up. And boy, the new call stopped, at least for me. I don't know. Each guide has a different situation, but boy, as soon as this stuff started, my phone quit ringing.
All right. Well, Paul Nelson, like a lot of guides, you were probably very hard to get a spot with. This might be the year you can go out with an expert guide and maybe learn a little something about your backyard lakes you didn't know before. So consider giving him a call. What's the number again, Paul?
It's 218-760-7751.
Paul Nelson joining me today on Fish and Paul Bunyan Country. Great to have you on, Paul. Thank you for the time today.
You do a great job, Kev. Thanks a lot.
FISHII and Paul Bunyan Country.